Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So a big welcome to today's Project Love podcast. Today we are joined by two very special guests, Leah Stewart and Bexy Cameron. And we're going to be discussing our 2018 so far. We're going to do a bit of a review using our Goodbye 2017, Hello 2018 guides. And so I'll just tell you a little bit about our guests today. So Leah is someone who we've known for years through email. We've never met her before, so this is the first time we've actually met her properly. And Bexy we've known for a long time. She's a very good friend of ours. And she actually is the one who introduced us about 6 years ago. So thanks very much for that.
She's also probably the first person that ever did, after me, that ever did the goodbye, hello journey when it was in its infancy. So
a ripe little guinea pig.
Yes. Right, so the way this is going to work is that we're going to take it in turns to answer 6 questions that will help us to share what came out of each of us doing goodbye hello at the end of 2017 or the start of 2018. So if you did, those of you listening, if you did goodbye hello last year, then treat this as if you're joining us here too. Grab your journal from last year and answer the questions yourself as you go along. If you didn't do goodbye hello last year, then use this episode as a way to reflect on your own year and also to get excited about what doing goodbye hello this year could do for you in 2019. So let's start off by each of us sharing where we were last year in terms of life, career, location, whatever details you want to add in, and how you are feeling. So who is going to be the brave one to go first?
I'll go if you want.
Okay, great.
So I was doing my goodbye hello in the Philippines. I'd been making a documentary out there in the jungle, and it was my second month of being out there. And from a kind of the perspective of just how I was feeling at the time, it was probably the most excited I was about work, the most connected I felt to myself, to nature, even just being in surroundings that are that dramatic, and doing something that was completely out of my comfort zone, but also with a really supportive team and with a bit of budget and about something that I cared about, which was, it was about the typhoon that happened 4 years ago and what happened since. So I was in a really kind of amazing point in, like, very unusual point in my life. I think probably many other goodbye hellos have probably been written in, you know, my basement flat staring at concrete. So this one is exciting, which is why I started. But yeah, it was a really amazing time for me. And I think that the kind of interesting thing about that is really realizing that sometimes your physical space can actually really affect what you put into your goodbye hello. I think this is probably the 7th one that I've done around that. And I noticed when I kind of look back on it, how excited I am throughout the book, but also how everything is kind of rooted in how I was feeling at that time. Like, everything was like about making documentaries and about, you know, social purpose and all that kind of stuff, which is quite interesting for me to see that there is that, that you can really be kind of not coloured, but definitely changed by what you're doing at that time.
Yeah, inspired and shaped what your dreams are in that moment, based on where you are and what your sort of circumstances are. Yeah.
So this was my first ever goodbye hello experience, and boy did I need it at that point in my life. So I'd been living back in the UK for a year at that point. And before that, I'd lived a few years in Germany. So that's where I escaped to when I escaped the career and the job. And I followed Marianne Cantwell's Free Range Human course. That's how I found Selena's work and then Project Love. And I'd moved to the UK with my fiancé from Germany, bringing him away from his country to mine because I'd found a dream job. And at the point of doing this, I'd been in that job about a year, and I realised it wasn't quite as dream as I'd imagined. It wasn't quite as secure as I imagined. He wasn't working, and I was terribly afraid of what would happen if/when that job ended. And I had no other plan, and he didn't have work. And I genuinely thought we'd have to leave the home that we were trying to build together and all this sort of stuff. So I was feeling very stressed. I was feeling guilty. I was feeling awful. But I knew enough about Project Love and this sort of thing to know that when this came out, this Goodbye Hello journal, I knew that that's what I needed, because I knew that while I was feeling all this stuff, I knew it could change, but I needed something to help me do that. So that's what this was for me. And the question about where I was when I was doing this, those are the emotions I was feeling, and they were very surface level. But one of the first things that the journal gets you to do is look back at the year in a really positive light. And I could not believe how many amazing things had happened in the year, like beautiful, tiny things that I was dismissing. Wow. So right from the first page of the journal, I was so grateful for the experience of pulling up like little things, like we tended to a garden together, just little things that were wonderful. That's where I was when I began.
Oh, amazing. Great.
Shall I go next?
Yeah.
So I did the actual journal on a train just after New Year with Vicky and Bexy on either side, I think, heading up to a friend's wedding. I was probably feeling pretty much the same as I am this year. We just launched, so we'd just done the Goodbye Hello for the first time, and actually as a physical version, it had gone really well, so that was really exciting. We've been doing a lot of visioning around Project Love, a lot of kind of new plans and figuring out what we wanted to do and plans for the year ahead. I think I was exhausted, but not as burnt out as I had been the year before, so that felt like progress. It's always a challenge of mine. We were sort of thinking about buying a house in 2018, so there was like that slightly scary, don't know how it's going to work out plan. Not scary, but it was a big thing to be adding on to everything else. But yeah, that was me. But I was looking forward to it. Because of the way we approach the year with Goodbye Hello and looking at it as a creative project, I'm always, even when I'm exhausted, I'm always excited, because it's like, oh, okay, what's going to cook up this year? So yeah, that's how I was feeling.
So I remember I was feeling very exhausted before a holiday that I went on in November. I went to New York and Mexico, and I remember feeling so excited about the holiday, but so exhausted as well. But the holiday just totally gave me that reset that I needed, and it was just such an ideal way to end the year. And I remember feeling so connected to myself, and I wanted to find a way to keep that going in the year ahead, and to keep that connection with myself, and just to really prioritize the things that are really important to me. And what I was craving so much was simplicity, and I'll go into that later, but that's definitely something that I've realized now has really been brought in. But I didn't consciously kind of declare it, but it came out of my five-year dream life that I wrote about. Simplicity was the experience that lay at the heart of it. So it's really interesting now looking back and seeing actually that's what's definitely occurred this year. And yeah, just being to the same wedding that you mentioned, Selena, my best friend got married, so it's bridesmaid, and we just come back from that amazing celebration of love. I was very ill actually after that for about 5 days, not just the celebration, but a real flu. But I remember just feeling so proud, because as you say, we'd done the Goodbye Hello journal, and it went out to 32 countries all over the world, and we printed 1200 of them, and I was just feeling so proud of what we achieved. I think I was feeling very excited actually about the year ahead. I was excited about kicking off Project Ibiza, just feeling optimistic. Okay, so next question is, what have been the biggest changes or milestones for you this year?
For me, I think my most unexpected one came from the fact that, I mean, as I said, I've been doing this Hello, Goodbye, and when it was called Reflect Manifest, was it? Years ago. And and I was kind of like, I've always been very kind of vocal about what it is that I want and where I want to be. And I've always been like, you know, I'm going to smash this year, and I'm going to get this done. And, you know, I've always been extremely kind of pointed about what I want for myself and my career and who I want around me and all that kind of stuff. And when I was sitting out in the Philippines writing it out beginning of this year, I was like, hang on a second. I've done this for years and years and years, and I've never once written anything about love. Mm. I've always written stuff about, you know, getting an award or, you know, I've got to buy 17 houses. No, like, just like, you know, that kind of like
the Oscar this year, yeah, the Oscar. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, give myself unachievable goals. And it was in the kind of summer of last year where I, you know, had conversations with you girls about, you know, actually being vocal about what it was that I wanted in a partner, which I hadn't ever been before, and, you know, made some really terrible, terrible decisions over many, many years. Just, you know, just by kind of just wading into things without really thinking about them. And I realised that even though I had all these ambitions for myself, I never really had ever vocalised that I wanted to be in love or fall in love. And I kind of, if I'm being completely honest, and, you know, you guys are Project Love, which is, this is not the, the nicest thing to hear, but I thought that kind of vocalising the fact that you wanted to be in love with someone was a complete weakness.
Yeah.
You know, the award's great, but, like, the love side of things, you know, that should just happen without without trying or without thinking about it. So this was the first year that I actually wrote anything about that. And I was actually just looking at it now, and it's so pathetic that I couldn't even write it in. I was just like, oh, draw a little heart. And I know what that means, because I'm too afraid to, like, even put it in properly.
You know
just,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. And, you know, I didn't even want to, like, I didn't want to verbalise it. And then I put, you know, to find somebody to share a life with. And then I kind of started building it out a bit more like that, and just actually writing it into the things that I felt more comfortable with, like, what do I want my five-year plan to be, you know, how do I want to feel with this person. And and it was a real kind of milestone for me, because you know, it, that did all change. And I think if I hadn't given myself that space to allow it, that I wouldn't have recognized it when I saw it, when it was actually sitting on my doorstep. If I'd been so busy probably chasing all the other things that I normally chase, I wouldn't have given that the space that it needed. And I think along with that was all this stuff that I've written. I mean, I do call this my book of contradictions, because there are so many things in it that are just, like, mental fighting against each other. I want to go roller skating, voguing. I want to learn how to break dance. And then it's like, this year should be gentle.
I know, she's got the longest list of ambitious things that she wants to create, that for most people would span 7 years, but she's trying to do it in 1 year. And then at the same time, and also say no more and relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to do both those completely contradictory things?
2018, but, you know, the year of calmness. So I basically, as well as, like, knowing that I wanted to, that I could say yes to the person when I saw them, I knew how I wanted that relationship to be, of, like, you know, doing more things in the countryside, doing more things that had culture at the heart of them. And it's been the first kind of relationship where I've had where that's been the core of it, rather than, you know, going out and getting, you know, mash up together or whatever. It's been much more kind of those types of things have been at the centre. And I think that because I knew that I wanted the two things in tandem, not even necessarily the two things together, but I put them both out there. The other big change for me was because I think, again, because of circumstance more than anything else, I've been toying around with being a director for years. But I've always done many, many things, a creative director, work in advertising, also a director, but also want to write and, as I say, the voguing and roller skating take up time. but I was like, do you know what? I actually want to stop fucking around and actually be a director this year. Yeah. And that in itself was a scary thing to say, but it also meant that I had to make space for it, which means I had to stop doing a bunch of other stuff, which meant that, you know, I did all the small practical things that you kind of suggest to do when you want to change your life. I changed my signature on my email. Really scary.
I was so scared.
I put a director on there. What are people going to think? I think that's so up myself. And I changed that, made a website, did all these things that are just kind of like hygiene, essentially, if you want to, like, have that career, but felt really big to me. But also had to start saying no to all the other types of work that I was getting, which meant that I had 6 months of being completely broke.
Yeah.
And really, like, hard up for cash and being like, oh my God. But if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have had the space to do the things when they started coming in. And it really was only in June that work started coming in. So, and then when it came in, it was coming in, like, thick and fast.
Yeah.
And, like, when I wrote in my books, like, what do I want to do this year? It was, like, two documentaries. And I managed to, between June and December, did three. Did my first two, like, global commercials. You know, stuff like that, which I was like, I'll do them for free if I have to. And that's not how it's actually panned out. But it did mean that I had to make that space.
Yeah.
And making that space was really, really scary.
Yeah.
And I remember, Selena, you and I had a conversation, like, I think it was probably May because it was just before everything started.
I think it was the sixth when we did the 6 month review. Yeah. And you said, and I was talking about it, and you said, you know what, I think I wrote the wrong things into my journal. Yeah. I think I was too inspired by being in the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was a mistake, but, you know, back to... And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it
because it was,
happened.
I'd had 6 months of nothingness.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
And just being like, wow, you've changed your signature and nothing's happened. So, like, you know, and just being, like, scared by that and just... I cannot explain how much of a failure I felt at that point. So, you know, with this kind of manifesting and with writing stuff down and all the rest of that, there are ramifications to it as well. And
yeah.
It can be really scary because it means to say no, to make space, you know, that can be a really terrifying spot. So even though, you know, there is so much good that comes out of it, you do have to, well, I did have to go through that kind of really terrifying shaking off of, you know, a lot of ego, of like, you know, not being able to, you know, get my nails done or buy nice things. You know, just like really battening down the hatches to get the things that you want.
And also having faith and trusting that it will happen because, and there's a brilliant analogy, I think by a guy called William Bridges, he talks about change and he says it's like jumping off, I think I might have said this recently in podcast, but I'll repeat myself. Yeah, the pontoon. So it's like you're jumping off a pontoon knowing this isn't the place for you anymore. You know there's a pontoon over the horizon, but you can't yet see it. So you jump off and you start swimming. And you're swimming and swimming and swimming. And after a while, you're like, I've been swimming for ages. And then you start, oh, do you know what? Forget about it. Forget about that pontoon over there. I'm going to go back to the original pontoon. You turn around and it's gone.
Yeah.
So now you're like in the worst place of all because you're not on the pontoon anymore and the other one hasn't appeared and that's when you freak out and that's the in-between bit where you have to like hold your resolve and, you know, keep trying things and it's really scary. And I always say with setting intentions is that first you do have to buckle in and get ready for the ride because always when I set an intention, the first thing that comes up for me, which is why January and February are always quite tumultuous, because all the ways that that's either not happening or all the fears I have around it, or all the ways that I'm doing the opposite in my life show up. Mm. And so you have to, it's like that. So clearing that space, clearing a space creates a void.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a terrifying place for human beings to sit.
And it just makes you feel like, well, it made me feel extremely vulnerable to be in that kind of like, you know, going from being somebody that always knew, like, always had loads of work, always, you know, spinning many plates and da 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 da. And then to just be like, oh, wow, actually, how do I define myself? My identity is so wrapped up in the things that I create and do. So to have 6 months of that and that chat that we had where I was just literally like, wow, the Philippines really mucked up my hello goodbye, didn't it?
Well, that's stupid. Dreaming, I did.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it wrong.
Yeah. So I think those were my biggest changes, and I think to sum that up is it was a case of with the love thing was just allowing myself to feel vulnerable and asking for it,
yeah,
which was a huge deal for me. And then with the career thing, it was like allowing myself to have the space and all of the kind of the negativity and the pulling apart of self that came with that before I could let all of the good
stuff
in.
Amazing. And it wasn't one of the... Well, I do remember you talking about how self-worth was also going to be a focus of yours.
Yeah, yeah. I that was the kind of one of the big things that I wanted to learn, like, this year, was just how to value myself, how to create boundaries, and how to, just kind of have a bit of a better relationship with myself. And I think that a lot of the decisions I'd made before, whether they were in love or potentially even with career, came from that kind of not having necessarily a good... relationship myself or understanding what my self-worth really was, and I think that's something that's definitely changed for me this year. I mean, but that kind of stuff is a work in progress, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a sine
self-worth
wave as well.
Done.
Yeah, exactly.
Check that off.
Yeah. Gave myself a cuddle. But yeah, so
just to sum up so we can celebrate now where we are today, what is your situation in terms of work and love?
Situation is, I mean, as I was saying, like I've managed to do like more than I thought I was going to do from like actually trying out things like doing a global ads, from doing 3 documentaries, one of which was like about club culture, which was so much fun and brilliant. And then I did another one on youth culture, which was just like what my heartland. And then obviously getting the Typhoon one made as well. But then on the love side of things, I've just literally 2 weeks ago moved in with my partner, in a really nice house with a cat, which feels, very grown up. You know, it's a quite a big metamorphosis from where I was, even this time last year, which was still kind of like knocking around with people that, even though they were good people or good person, just not really giving me what I needed to feel good about myself or to feel good in that relationship, constantly having to, you know, constantly thinking that I that it was it's slightly unrequited or not. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that definitely comes down to that self-love and self-worth side of things. It's like putting yourself in two positions with people where they just aren't able to give you what you need, and you're willing to accept it because you haven't got that relationship with yourself yet, where you're going, actually, this just isn't good enough, and being able to recognise it when it is. So yeah, a big metamorphosis from this time last year.
Amazing. Oh, yay. I love it. Yay.
So much can change in a year. It just shows you, doesn't it? I was just thinking, God, where are we all going to be in 12 months from now? Like, so much can happen.
Yeah, amazing. Exactly. Over to you.
So I was in that void when I was doing this. I was going, why did we ever leave Germany? We can't afford to go back. And, you know, what? Why are we here? And there was a strong shift when I was doing the Hello Goodbye that, okay, so even if the job, aka the reason we moved, isn't right, like isn't really right for me, and now I know that actually probably no job is right for me. It was kind of my thing of thinking this one, but this one will work. But actually, it was that sense of thinking, well, maybe I need to not pursue a job career. Maybe I need to think of something else. But yeah, we were definitely, you know, we can't go back. We can't go forwards. The thing that was right, the thing that emerged as the thing that was right, was where we had landed. It's this little town. It's got the cutest name. It's called Biggleswade.
So Biggleswade.
Biggleswade is is where I moved. I was, you know, obviously trying to not live in London. I'm a country bumpkin, so I wanted the London job, but I didn't want to live in there. So I figured out how far out we could be, and that's where we landed, and that's where we had this little house and that we were making it our home. I knew, even when we first saw the house, I just had this moment of, I would fight for this house. And I didn't know where that thought came from, because I didn't think I would need to, but doing this reminded me of that thought and reminded me of, like, okay, now's the time. Now's the time that we fight to be here. Had started a few things to try and get connected in the community, because it's quite hard to make friends when you don't, you know. My mum was saying, just have kids, then you'll make loads of friends.
Yes, perfect.
But, you know, it's difficult. I was commuting in and out to London, leaving him at home on his own, and we were trying to figure out ways to meet people. So just at the point of doing this, we'd started little things like learning to do bell ringing.
Oh, which, my God, that is brilliant.
You know, you don't...
Bexy's going to put that in her goodbye.
I would actually, like, I would genuinely recommend it. Like, you don't have to be religious. You can have no religion. You can have any religion.
I have
religion.
Done it once, actually.
Have you? So it's just, when you get to a certain point, and it actually takes a few months
and
to get there.
Heavy. So heavy.
Yeah, it's like learning to swim, how it takes a lot of energy, and then once you can do it, I mean, you see the people doing it, they're like, quite elderly, some of them, and you think, how, but because they've got the technique. Once you can do it enough, you can actually, you can literally go anywhere in the country, and you've got people that you can meet and hang out with.
God, I love it.
So one of the milestones that we had, I guess I could put my milestones into a couple of things. One was investing in myself, which was a weird concept when I was feeling so exhausted and empty. So one of those was that, and the other one was giving, and the theme for my year was actually love. I was looking for anything that felt like love. I leaned towards it. Anything that didn't, I just leaned away. And that, I felt like that guided me through all the steps. So one of our milestones was a quite expensive holiday to York, where we nearly got to ring in the York Minster, but one of the bells had been changed, so we rang with the people in the church next door, which was also fun. But that was it, because that was quite an expensive holiday, and I really didn't quite know how we'd afford it. But as well as all of this, the whole investing in myself, it's like, where's the money going to come from? But knowing that I need to not be looking at jobs and careers, I started looking at what I could do. And what I have been doing with people, I've been working with people on stage talks and things like this, and, you know, with friends. And I'd experimented a little bit in my previous, in the job I have left now, with doing that. And I just doubled down on that. And that's where the money came from.
Wow.
Working with people, helping them produce stage talks that changed their life, changed the people they spoke with. And I just put that money back into, let me get a proper laptop. Let's go on a proper holiday, because we deserve it. because, you know, we've done so much life-changing stuff and we deserve that time. So, yeah, so much. And, oh, there's three words as well. I just wanted, because I couldn't believe it when I looked at this again, actually. Three words that were kind of guiding. So under love, it was purpose, ease and abundance. For me and my fiance, just kind of wandering around, saying yes to invites, saying yes to being part of stuff. Mm. And we said yes to going to a little party in a house near where we lived. That's where we're going to be getting married in the summer.
Wow! Yeah.
And I had in here, like, maybe think about getting married, like, think about when we're going to do that, because I just didn't think we'd have the money. I didn't think, but as soon as I saw that place, it was just a sense of ease of, oh, this is it. Oh, we found the place. So we're going to make this work now. And yeah, so.
So it feels like having come from that void,
yeah,
you've been putting the pieces of like a puzzle together, really guided by that leaning into like following where the love is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I felt like I needed some kind of guidance because I felt very lost. And that was all it is. Whenever I had a conversation with someone, whenever I picked up a book, whenever a project was potentially on the table, do I feel love? Do I not? Love, yes, I'll go for it.
Love that.
I'll move away. And it's been really helpful. Thank you.
Wow. So kind of to summarize where you are today in comparison to where you were a year ago.
So actually one of the, at the end, there's a kind of 6 points, I think, that you're going to do in here. One of them for me was figure out what little job I can do, you know, just a little kind of side job, just to have some money, because I had no idea that I would actually be able to be earning properly as a speaker coach by now. I had no idea. So I thought I'd be on my knees, either like in some, like a shop job or something like that, or it would have completely gone wrong and I'd have been trying to get into some sort of career job again. And that hasn't happened, so...
So you're just now a speaker's coach. You're a speaker's coach. Yeah. And so that start. I didn't realise that was just this year.
I've been working with people on the side for a few years.
Yeah.
So you
you said, you doubled down, you went, actually, let's go for it. What have I got to lose?
Now it's my thing. And I totally got what you were saying with the changing your email signature and things like this. I struggled so much with actually saying it for a long time. So one of the big investments in myself was joining this thing called Women in Business Network, and they have a monthly meet like 5 minutes from my house.
Wow.
So yeah, amazing lunch. All the people, and they're all local, and it, just going there month after month, saying over and over what I do, that has really built my strength of this is who I am now. So it's been essentially a shift of identity for me from essentially a failed employee to someone who's kind of ready to create my own work and career and
So I'm just interested. So you did Goodbye Hello, and at the end of it, did you feel like you now had a guiding principle? Did you feel more hopeful? How did it help you to feel kind of secure in the void, or maybe not secure? How did it help at the very beginning?
It helped me in that when I got lost again, it was never as bad as how lost I was when I first did it. So I did definitely get lost over the year. I started projects that were a distraction to me as opposed to the actual thing I should be doing, and then got lost in that and wondered what was going on. So I've actually have been checking back into the book over the year and going back to those principles that I defined within it. And that's, it's helped guide.
Using it as like a kind of navigation tool.
Yeah, for sure.
And grounding you and remembering what to ground yourself in. I love that. Thank you. God, it's so hard to follow these two.
I know, right?
right. So my milestones. Well, we bought a house.
Yes.
We bought a house with my partner, which is very exciting.
Considering where you were this time last year, we were just talking about it, and now it's all happened.
Yeah, I know. Now it's happened. We're in there. We live two doors down from really good friends of ours. Our little boy's a best friend, so that's very cute. In fact, Vexy's two godchildren now are two doors apart, so that's,
very handy for me.
Very cosy. It's nice in London having that sense of kind of like community.
Yeah.
What else? So with Project Love, I was actually reading a part in the sort of dream bit, and I wrote, take key things about Project Love that are great and take them to the next level. Goodbye Hello, online course, and podcasts. And that's exact, like, That's exactly what we did. And that feels that feels great.
And website.
And the website was, I hadn't put it on the list, but we also did that too, threw that in as well. For me, so it was obviously, buying the house, taking Project Love to the next level. And actually quite key for us is also taking a lot of things off, because you were talking about the simplicity. And there are a lot, we'll talk about this in a bit, but there are a lot of things I wrote down I didn't do, never happened. I'm like, wow, I wrote that. God, I completely forgot. Some things obviously I did, but the things that we said we weren't going to do, every single one of those we took off the list. So that was that, really proud of that. Obviously getting Goodbye Hello into Oliver Bonus was amazing. We're kind of like folding things in together here with sort of different questions. So I'll say, for me, the big, wasn't so much a milestone, but my focus for the year was celebration. And it has been such a beautiful intention for the year. It's like you were saying, it's like having a kind of guiding, you know, yours was love. And so using celebration, just always coming back to celebration and approaching things with celebrations, even tough times, like what can we celebrate in this? But really, like within Project Love, using celebration as a guide when it comes to, you know, everything from marketing campaigns, like, right, we should stop and we should celebrate this, you know, rather than going next, onto the next thing. But also amongst our friends, we've also brought in this kind of exercise of stopping and celebrating, you know, particularly those of us with our own businesses and things like that, is actually taking the time to celebrate. And it's almost a bit like a gratitude, but with a added pom-pom, I don't know. But it's really been surprisingly powerful in how much it's grounded me throughout the year, how much it's inspired me throughout the year, and how much it's made me focus on the good stuff. And you know, even in the tough times, actually looking for the what can you celebrate. So that's that, actually, in amongst, you know, the goals for the year, that has been the most powerful thing for me from doing it. It's been really good.
But even the kind of celebration, like WhatsApp and stuff that we've got with all the women on it saying like what we're celebrating that week. It's like, it's so easy to get into the habit of being self-deprecating. And not wanting to be like, oh my God, I'm kicking ass at the moment.
Because
you don't want to feel like, you know, like a knob by saying that.
Exactly.
But when you have a group of people that are all doing it, probably much in the same way as your, you know, women's meetings that you have, and when you can actually have the opportunity to say it and you're given permission to say it,
exactly,
and you're constantly celebrating each other's successes, it means that it just makes it so much more powerful, because it's all multiplied, rather than being like, oh, I'm working on a little project at the moment. It's like, no, let's big it up, let's big each other up, and in that it makes you want to do more and kind of
and I think, and then it's also when someone else is celebrating, it's almost like you can celebrate with them.
You're a part of it.
Exactly. And it's just like everyone high-fiving, another one for the, you know, and it's, it feels, it's really good. It was surprisingly, so my focus for the year was fun, nourishment and celebration. And the first two, they happened, but the real power word was celebration.
What I love is that other people get to benefit from your intentions as well, because that you created the WhatsApp group and then we've all been involved in this as well over the months, so we've all been benefiting from it. And I love that, you know, our intentions that we're creating, you forget the positive impact that can have on other people.
Yeah, exactly.
I kept writing that in the journal, actually kept saying what I want isn't a bad thing to want. What I want will help others. I mean, one of the things I didn't even mention there when I was working with the community is that I've, since that entire year, been running a community poetry sharing group. And I just even realised it just now. It's like, oh, that's a whole year I was doing that.
Oh, wow.
People come month after month to a room, and then the original place is in a pub that closed down, so we moved into another place. We're about to get a larger room gifted to us so that we could do it. And I'm like, oh, that'll be going in the next one. To celebrate this. The power of these words, right? So one of the first questions, one of the early questions is what did you intend for the year before to be about? Something like that.
Yeah.
That stopped me in my tracks, because I realised that was the first year where I hadn't actually set a word as an intention for a couple of years. So I know the ones before, I had a year of wonder that was kind of taking me out of quite a dark place, I guess, and looking for the things that are beautiful. Year of play, which is how, when we were connecting, where I was doing lots of collaborations and things. And then I had no year for that year that didn't go so well.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it and I answered that question honestly, what did I want it to be about? I realised it was glory. This is all, which could have been good, but it was unconscious. And so I was wanting the year to, I was wanting the experience of getting this job and having like the steady income. I was wanting it to be kind of a well done for all the risks and the things that I'd taken the years before. And it's never going to be like that. So I'm like, obviously, I probably wasn't the best colleague. Obviously, like, obviously that year is going to be a bit wonky if I didn't set an intention. So I'm going to be really conscious about setting proper intentions. Because if I'd have set glory as a proper intention, then I could have included others, but because it was unconscious.
Because then just, it gets you to take action.
Yeah, it was just, I was fighting something I didn't know what I was fighting the whole year. Whereas when you actually set it, you can take action, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Glory. Never heard anyone say that word as an intention.
It was looking back and what I secretly actually wanted out of it.
Yeah. But without embracing it, without owning it, it caused all sorts of havoc.
All sorts of havoc. Mm. Yeah. Please, everyone, set intentions.
Lesson in this, guys. So your dream life, the section in last year's journal, I really explored Ibiza and what it would be like to live there and how I would feel and what I love about the dream. And as I said before, simplicity really was this experience that I was really craving, and a sense of community and connection and ease and flow. And looking back, the decisions that we've made in our business, I definitely feel that Project Love and our offering now is way more simplified than ever before.
Yeah,
I'm experiencing more simplicity in my life as well, and I just feel like I've really been prioritizing the things that matter this year and the people that matter. And so my intentions were fun and femininity, and I declared this summer to be a summer of fun and booked in some festivals and weekends away, and I have had the summer of fun, and it was just amazing. It's everything I wanted, because I'd really missed that the year before. I realized I've been working all summer. And in femininity, having a self-love practice in the morning that really supports me, and just bringing in different kind of practices, but also learning about what that means to me as well. And so that's been a journey this year. It's the simplicity that I didn't consciously know that I needed.
Oh, yeah.
That came out of the dream. But I was actually, what was interesting is that Ibiza was very much a focus this time last year, and that Ibiza was the thing that was going to give me these experiences. And now looking back, and now how I feel today, I feel that same sense of fulfillment, even though Ibiza isn't here and I don't know when it will be here or if that's even something that we want anymore. But I still feel fulfilled in that way. So I've still been able to bring about those experiences that I was really craving this time last year as well, which was a really big lesson for me.
It's the essence behind that idea.
Yeah, the qualities.
Come to fruition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the experiences that you were craving that were symbolised by that Ibiza.
Yes, exactly.
That you were then actually able to do in other ways in your life now.
Yes.
While also exploring the Ibiza dream, which you also did.
Which I did, yeah. I did a recce in the spring and went over to Ibiza and had lots of meetings with people that have made the move out there and learnt from them and just explored it and tried on the lifestyle and decided that it's definitely a place that I'd like to explore living. And even though it's not here right now, I don't feel that I'm lacking in that. I've still given myself a taste of that experience and it's still on my radar. And I'm okay now with not knowing when. And I think before, 6 months ago, I would have, like just after the recce, and nothing had happened within a month or two after being back, and I felt really disappointed in myself. And when people ask me, how's Ibiza, and I hear that you're out there and what's happening, and I just didn't know what to say. And I felt really disappointed that I hadn't moved it forward, but now I see why. And now I can quite confidently say, oh, it's still very much there. It's important and it's on hold. I don't know when it will be, and it doesn't feel lacking. I don't feel like I'm craving that thing anymore, even though it's not here.
I wouldn't even say it's on hold. It's just not right now, but it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? It makes me feel so happy to hear you say that, because it feels like we've mentioned this I Breathe the Dream many times on this podcast episode. Everyone knows about Vicky's I Breathe the Dream. But it's to hear you sound so peaceful around allowing that dream to be,
yeah,
but not trying to force it to happen now or soon or, to get that momentum. It's like it's there and you're allowing it. You've done the recce.
Yeah.
You've had the conversations and now it's kind of like, well, let's see. Because actually you've done the work to unwrap it, to like Bex is saying, to find the essence, to find this experience, to lie at heart of it, recognising you can give yourself those experiences you're craving that are symbolised in that dream, while also having that dream there and not having to shut it down.
Yes.
And that's really, that's a huge place to get to, and a big lesson to learn as well.
Yeah, and it's only when I sat down and reflected this morning that I realised that, actually, that sense of peace that I now feel around it. And it's so important to do that. Otherwise, you could just, not... I think sometimes it's you don't have these epiphany moments like, oh, now I've realised this, and, and I feel differently about this. It's actually through that process of reflection that you realise that it's been quite subtle changes. And now, looking back, I do feel differently than I have done in ages. And I still feel it's possible as well, because I've explored it. I know that it could be possible. And I know the steps that we need to take. And so then I feel more optimistic about it being in the future of something we could do if we really prioritised it and if we really worked hard to make it happen.
And you can, and now, because you're so at peace with it, you can really use that dream to kind of go, okay, what is it in there that I'm still craving? What are the experiences in it? And then go, okay, how can I give that to myself this year?
Yeah.
Just being in London or going on some holidays and you unwrap it. And again, so actually you can then use those bigger dreams, even while they're not happening, to help guide you and let your, and sort of to understand what it is that you're kind of craving and you need and what you can do.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's great.
And be curious about it. Yeah.
I just second that as a podcast listener. So I've been hearing this on the listening side of it the whole time. So it's really fun being here and hearing that. And this is kind of why I tune into the Project Love podcasts all the time, because it's not about, getting that goal and then being all like, rah, did it, but exploring it and what it is. And so I always feel at ease and happy when I hear these episodes. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing your Ibiza journey.
Oh, thank you.
I know, it's so good. It has been great, and it's been, very generous of you to kind of offer that up. Because it's hard when you're in the middle of it. It's a vulnerable thing to be like, here's this thing I'm doing and I have no idea what I'm really doing. Or
you want to wait till the end, until it's a hero's journey.
Yeah, exactly. And you can say,
I did it. I'm actually live from Ibiza now.
But it's so true, because we've been able to see the journey, the twists and turns of that journey. And when you look back and you tell the story, and it's Steve Jobs that says this in his famous inaugural speech, it's so very easy to look back and join the dots. But actually, the reality is you're just constantly feeling your way. No one knows from, one week to the next what they're going to be doing. And that's why, with Goodbye Hello Journal, we'll get onto this one next, things that we haven't done from the journal, because I think it's really important, because I've spoken to a few people who've said, oh God, I don't dare go and review my journal because there's stuff I put in there that I didn't do. And I was like, I've got loads of stuff in mine that I didn't do. And it's not about writing a list of the goals and ticking them all off, and then you get to the end of the year and you're like, now I can feel satisfied because I did all these things. It's about writing things down. Oh my God, so we've changed it this time. So in the Goodbye 2017, Hello 2018, we had 6 commitments for the year and then that was it. Now we do 3 commitments every quarter. Part of it was because you write these things down, 3 months later, you've stopped doing them, you've changed your mind, or maybe you're still doing them. And it always comes back to the idea that this is, setting an intention, setting goals, then go and explore and experiment and actually see if it's even what you want to do.
Yeah.
So that going to Ibiza, and doing a recce, you have to, because you need to know, actually, when I really try it out, is this still what I want to do? Or was it something else, that I thought it would be that actually it isn't? Or so let's share maybe a few things that you didn't do.
I'll start.
Roller skating.
Roller skated exactly once. though this was a big priority.
Was that with me? Because I think that was last.
Yeah, that was with you.
Was it?
Yeah.
That wasn't this year. I think that was last
when
year.
It
wasn't even this year.
When we fell over in front of those young boys while playing Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me out of a mobile phone.
You're very kind, because it was me that fell over and she helped me up.
we. It was me.
I think my big one that I didn't do was I wanted to write something, as in I wanted to go to Cartagena or somewhere exotic like that and spend six weeks writing. And I didn't do that. And I would still love to do it, but just this just didn't happen this year. I think voguing as well definitely dropped off the list, as well as working out, which is always nice.
Any form of exercise.
Yes, any form of exercise. I suppose for me, the one thing that I kind of really wanted was to do that big chunk of writing. But when I kind of look at my list of kind of contradictions, as I was saying, you know, I want to learn how to say no, and I want to have a relationship, and I want to have a calm and gentle year, and then I've got a list of 56 things that I want to learn to do. It's not surprising that one or two of them fell off the list. And I'm not actually like that upset about not doing the writing break somewhere, because that's something that I think that I'll be able to do at any point. It's not really contingent upon anything else. It's not like a career goal or anything like that. It's much more something I just want to do for myself for zero reason, as in I don't even have anything that I want to write. I just want to have the experience of doing it, much like when we went away to Buenos Aires to be artists. So I did have quite a few things fall off my list, which I'm not actually that sad about. I think it's fine for them to for a couple of things to drop off.
Yeah, and also the whole thing is that, you know, that's why we then review, because you go back and you go, okay, did I not do this because actually, even though I wrote it down, I think I really wanted it. In reality, the things that I had to not do or do in order to make that happen, it was like it was almost actually didn't. In the end, want it that much to do those things or not do the things to allow me to do it.
Yeah.
But also, maybe you're like, no, I really do want to do it. Okay, so then this year, how can you support yourself or ask others to support you to make those things happen? So it's, you know, don't, rather than giving yourself a hard time, it's just going, okay, what worked and what didn't work? Which of these things am I happy for them to just not come back on the list again? And which of these things, maybe this time roller skating really is going to be your thing in 2019.
It's funny though, because when I look at some of the stuff that I did do a lot of, like, which I never have done this in like the last 10 years, I spent probably 12 weekends away in the countryside in the UK, just like bombing around with my boyfriend in an RV, just like exploring the UK. And I haven't ever done that. And it was one of the things that I wanted to do. I didn't be as specific as that. I just said more time in the countryside. So if I look at what I actually did grab hold of and do a lot of, and how much it really enhanced my mental well-being and just made me feel so alive through just the fact of like having a buddy to adventure around with, but you know, all the exciting things you get up to on these little weekends away, you know, I'm not sad that, you know, a couple of things dropped off when I did concentrate on the things that really, really made me feel alive and also made me feel at peace.
Yeah. And actually, you can think of it a bit like filling a jar with all these different things that you think you would enjoy doing. And then through the year, you pick out of a jar of 100, you pick out 30 things. So it's not the idea you're supposed to do all of them.
Yeah.
You could look at it like that as well, particularly if you have more ideas than time to do them all in. As you do, Bexy, is then recognise you're not going to be able to do all of them. But if you do some of them, then great.
Yeah.
And just see which ones you did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. How about you? What did you put down in your journal?
Two things I didn't do.
Two?
Yeah, two. I didn't write that many things. I didn't feel like I could do much, so I kept the list really short. Two things I didn't do. One of them was I didn't just get a local job in order to keep the bills okay. Instead, I worked with amazing people one-to-one doing what I love. So that was a bit of a transition to realise actually I was writing down that goal because I felt like I had to, because I felt like that was the most I could was to be doing what I love part-time on the side of something else. But, yeah, the real deal happened, so I got to do
great.
That. And the other thing, one of the things I wrote down was us getting a car. It's not something that I really want. It was more like a goal for the two of us, because I know that it would mean a lot for him to have a car. And we haven't done that. But because we were connecting so much, you know, like doing the bell ringing and getting involved with the History Society, and he's on the committee, we actually got lifts all sorts of places by all the people there who have cars, who would love, you know, a couple of the younger new people in their car with them when they go to this place to ring bells or this place to, I don't know, walk around a castle and stuff. So the reason for having a car kind of went away because one of my intentions was to double down on connecting with the community that we're in.
Two birds with one stone. Yeah. Great. So the two things that fell off your list were all really good reasons.
Okay. I'll be more ambitious this time and write a really long list.
I mean, just looking at my commitments for 2018, do a one-day retreat once a quarter. I like this one. Follow my heart and my dreams and have a book dedicated to it. Nothing very specific in that apart from the book, which I had.
Yeah.
It then did get taken over by notes for work. But, you know, it did start off. Book in Hope Cove weekends. So Hope Cove is a place in Devon I go to. Did that. Prioritise time with girlfriends. Yes, I did it. Really did. Doubled down on that one. Definitely did that. And then weekly and fortnightly dates with Fonz. Failed. Go on an adventure with Fonz and Sammy, did that. So the main one that I did, other than following my heart, my dreams, which is like so airy-fairy and non-specific that I can easily say yes, was prioritising time with girlfriends. And the one that I definitely, the one-day retreat once a quarter, nice, but not, again, it's coming back to that effort. It's not so important to me that I'm like, right, this year I'm going to really put in the effort and everything that goes into doing that. If it happens, then lovely. But definitely the dates with Fonz, again, I need to put in the support, I need to put in the effort, and we need to sit down and go, right, maybe start with fortnightly. Maybe even monthly would be a good start.
Once every 6 months.
Once every 6 months is probably what we have managed.
It's only your relationships.
Exactly. It's right down on the list of priorities. Now I've got one. Take it for granted. Tick, got it. Right, on to the other stuff. No, but I think sometimes that I can treat it like that. So I think definitely that is going to be something that I will bring into 2019 and just recognise that it doesn't happen just by wanting it. I actually have to sit down and go, right, we need to schedule this in. We need to get a babysitter sorted or ask friends or, you know, do whatever we need to do to make it happen. But, yeah, so it's good to go through that so that people know.
But you don't always do.
Even the life design coach has done two of the six commitments that she made in 2018.
Selena, Rebecca, you'll know that I didn't do this one because it was a wedding book of photos to say thank you to our guests that came to the wedding. We wanted to make a physical book. And as you know, you didn't get that book, did you?
I didn't know it was planned. I'm newly, freshly disappointed. Yeah. I would have loved that.
Is there anything you'd like to have a go at making? I'd wrote wedding book. And Pav actually did create the book. A digital version that we were then going to print, and we talked about paper and specs and different things, and we just never had a weekend where we had the time to do it. And now we just celebrated our 2-year wedding anniversary a few months back. We were like, just give them the pictures online. So we finally shared the wedding pictures.
You simplified the project.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And maybe one day you'll get the book as a thank you, maybe the 10-year wedding anniversary, who knows. Another thing I didn't do that I definitely want to bring into 2019 is dates with me. And I'd written down that I want to do more friend dates, more dates with Pav, and dates with myself. And I've definitely done the monthly dates with Pav, pretty much, and dates with friends. But I haven't really taken myself out and given myself the same treatment. I think I've done it like twice, or maybe three times. But I really want to do some special things for myself in the new year.
Just on that, I love the self dates, taking yourself out. I took myself to fireworks night.
Did you? Oh, that's a good one.
It was actually lush. Aww. And because everyone's in groups and you're watching the thing, no one notices the person on their own, just enjoying it. Oh, it was lovely.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Ooey and ahhing, just you and yourself.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so to wrap up, how are you feeling as you step into a new year?
It's quite an unusual one for me because I'm not saying I'm not excited about next year, but I think I'm normally just so full of like piss and vinegar from an ambitions perspective. And this is probably the most content I've felt in my entire life, that I haven't been sitting there going like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? It's probably one of the first times I've just been like, oh my God, this just feels so great. And it just feels so nice just being like in the moment and feeling so loved and content and happy with where I actually am. That this is one of the first times that I've not been sitting there like either berating myself or giving myself a ton of plans of what I need to do next year. So I'll be really interested to see how my kind of goodbye hello turns out.
Yeah.
You know, it will I go from a list of like 26 things to maybe three? I don't know. Like, I just feel really, really happy and really content in like my friendships, my love life, what I'm doing for work. Like, everything just seems to have kind of settled into a place where I'm not scrabbling around trying to get more. I'm just super happy with how it is. So this is probably one of the first times that I've had that as my basis, rather than my basis is normally like real kind of go-getter type type vibe. So I'll be interested to see that, what kind of comes out of that as an energy, rather than the constant trying to prove myself, which I've probably been doing since I was about
forever.
7 or 8 months old. So
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I kind of feel like I'm moving into a bit of a go-getter phase. So I feel like I've got my resilience back and I've got connections and a place now where I can put some actual intentions and, you know, be a bit more out there and things like this. And a word's been coming into my head lately. So we talked about the importance of setting a word and how that's been really super important to me. And this word's been coming up in my head, so I think I'll end the next one with this word, but we'll see if it does or doesn't, or if it comes up in another form. But overflow, that's been playing, because what I notice now is that things have gone from really bad to really amazing and wonderful, and I notice myself holding myself back. I've lately been reminding myself of overflow, to just allow kind of joy and things to just overflow, go beyond me, go further than where I think my boundaries are.
That you don't need to cap it. It's not like there's only so much happiness you're allowed.
Yeah.
You can have even more and let it overflow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
This year's been about filling myself up, and so it feels like a natural step to just let it, let it then go over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like a natural step. So we'll see if I end up on that word and what might happen.
Really inspiring. So I have no idea what my word is going to be, because I haven't gone through the process yet. And we've also got sessions around our sort of future, for, you know, plans and vision for Project Love. So we don't know what how that's going to take shape. Mm-hmm. But I'm always so excited at this time of year, A, because the reflection process is just so grounding and beautiful, and I love it. And so booking in some little dates with myself, even if that's just closing the door to a room and lighting a candle, having a glass of wine, I don't know. But creating a bit of a sort of little space around to do that, to make it feel special for me and time with me, which is, which I love these days. But I think there's just always a sense of, excitement about what I will come up with for the year ahead, because after, 8 years now, this is our 8th year of doing this, and always now looking at the new year like a fresh canvas to plant seeds into and play with and see. And now also, like you said, Leah, that the power of intentions, of having a word and setting intentions, now because I know the power of that. So whether it's stuff around Project Love, my personal life, I know that once I choose those seeds and I plant them and that intention, stuff does happen. And so it's as much excitement to see how those things are going to take shape without even yet knowing what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. So, I just love this time of year. And for the first time from as long as I can remember, I am not ending the year feeling thoroughly burnt out and ready to just unplug and disappear. And that, Bex, who's known me the longest here, will know she's never heard those words come out of my mouth. And that's actually true this time. So, I don't know what to do with that. That's just exciting. But, just looking forward to the magic of the next intention.
I'd say the same, actually. This is the first December that I felt that I'm not burnt out as well. And usually I find that when I'm reflecting on previous years, I'm like, because I finished the year feeling exhausted and burnt out. And I'm like, there's a pattern here. But I don't feel that. And I actually feel like I've had such a great November. It feels like everything's, the year's just been giving and giving. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just having Christmas at home in London this Christmas and just having some time, Hygge time, to just like read all those books I've got on the shelf that I buy and don't have time to read. Going to read some of them this Christmas, and I have some time to reflect and just be really grateful. So much to be grateful for, and I'm just really looking forward to really letting myself sit in that place of gratitude and to feel really excited about the year ahead. I really do. I really feel excited about it. And I don't know what the intention is yet, and looking forward to that emerging as well.
Oh, wow. Well, I think there's just left to say is thank you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing and opening up. And it's so inspiring to reflect together with people on just how much you can learn and how much you can look back and see how much you've grown and all that's happened and all that you've been through. And, how have you guys felt doing it?
The podcast?
Yeah, just taking that time to kind of review it and reflect. And
yeah, no, it's nice. It's quite a nourishing experience, isn't it? And also, it's nice to have a giggle about the stuff that you
that you didn't do
and that you thought was, like, massively important. it is nice. And I think as well, like, in the same way that writing something down gives it that power, doesn't it? Because it just reminds you of where you're headed. Talking about it and celebrating it, it feeds it as well.
Yeah.
And it just helps shows you that, yes, you are actually in the right place.
Yeah.
And that it's fine to, you know, have little fuck-ups along the way. Or to change course. And I think that's a really big one for me is in the same way that we're talking about your Ibiza trip, it's like being able to turn around and say, you know what, it didn't work out and that's all right. Or, you know, leave projects because they're not okay. Stuff like that, which I think I've always carried so much shame with not being if something isn't finished.
Or just saying just not right now.
So it's nice. It feels like we've had a little sister circle.
Exactly. This is for the sister circle. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
The Project Love Goodbye 2018 Hello 2019 journal is now on sale.
Goodbye Hello is an end-of-year guide that helps you to say a proper farewell to 2018 as it comes to an end and create a vision and a plan to help you to thrive and create a life you love in the year to come.
Order your copies of the Goodbye Hello Journal now for you and your loved ones over at thegoodbyehellojournal.com.